everyone, and welcome back to NTI's Japan Real Estate Property Investment Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and we've got a special treat for you today. With us on the line is Mr. Ito Sadaisu, founder and president of Sadiwell Japan, which is a Japanese tax and accounting firm based in Tokyo. And he's here to talk to us about various tax and finance issues involved in purchasing properties here, from income tax to capital gains tax, the differences between purchasing as an individual versus an incorporated entity, the various types of companies one can actually use for this purpose, and the differences between all of those. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the potential for financing your property investment purchases, which is something a lot of you have been asking us about as well. So grab your pens and notepads or tablets and notebooks, whatever you normally use to take notes, because this is going to be a very educational episode. Now, please bear in mind that what we're going to discuss here is general advice only. Obviously, everyone should consult with their own accountants before deciding what is the best course of action for their own circumstances. Sadaisu-sama, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We know you're very busy, so we're going to dive right in. We've touched briefly upon taxes in a previous podcast episode, and we know that here in Japan, real estate property investment income tax is charged as part of the normal income tax payable for individuals, which is quite low in comparison with other developed countries. Also, we know that there are no special taxes that apply to non-residents who purchase investment properties here. Actually, and I think you're going to talk about this in a moment, non-resident investors are exempt from some local taxes like inhabitant tax or municipal taxes, etc. So generally speaking, it looks as if it makes sense for people to always be buying their investment properties as individuals and not through a corporate entity. Now, is this always true, or are there any other advantages in purchasing as a corporate entity as opposed to individuals? Could you maybe give us a short explanation about the differences in taxation and when it becomes more beneficial to switch from individual ownership to corporate ownership, if that's ever the case at all?
Hi, thank you for the question. My name is Sadayasu Ito. I'm a Japanese tax accountant. And let me briefly explain you about the differences between the corporate and the individual. And what you just said is correct. I mean, in Japan, you know, the tax rate for the individual, like real estate investment, is not really high. You know, the biggest difference between the individual and the corporate is for the individual, the tax rate is, you know, we adopt a progressive taxation system. So the lowest tax rate is only 5%, but the highest tax rate is 45%. On the other hand, for the corporation, basically tax rate is fixed at 34%. I mean, for if your corporate taxable income is less than, you know, I think 70,000 US dollars around, you know, tax effective tax rate will be around, 23%. But basically, the corporate tax rate is fixed at 34%. So that means, you know, if your revenues and incomes from the real estate increases, eventually individual income tax rate will exceed the corporate tax rate. That then, you know, so approximately, you know, if you are making, let's see, about $350,000. If taxable income is exceeding that amount, I think, you know, the corporate will have more advantage compared to the individual in terms of the income tax. The other, you know, advantage of doing investment through the Japanese company is, you know, the Japanese company, I mean, corporate, can carry for the loss for up to 9 years. On the other hand, the individual can carry forward the loss only for the next 3 years. So that means, you know, usually when you start investment, it's kind of difficult to make a profit from the first year because you have to make a lot of the investment and need to find a tenant. So, but in such cases, you make a loss at the first year, but you can carry forward the loss to the next 9 years if you are corporate and offset the loss with the future income to save your tax. basically that's the biggest, you know, advantage for the corporation.
I see. Any other advantages there? Anything to do with expenses that you can maybe claim?
Yeah, sure. For the expenses, you know, well, compared to the individual, I think that the corporate can recognize more expenses than the individual. For example, if you own the property just by yourself, you can't pay salary to yourself. Well, you know, there's a way to pay the salary to your wife if your wife is actually working for the operation of the real estate investment, but that's limited only to your wife. But on the other hand, if you are, you know, corporate, you can receive the salary from your companies as the directors. And also, if your families or relatives are supporting the companies, your company can pay the salary for yourself and your families. So, and the salary from the companies to the individual is regarded as expense of the companies. So, you know, I would say that company has the expenses for the companies are, you know, that more expenses the company can recognize compared to the individual. That's another advantage of establishing a company.
I see. So it's really a matter of how big your income or your projected income is going to be and how much tax you're going to be paying on it as an individual opposed to a company. And also whether you've got any unusual expenses that you may be able to claim as deductions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, basically that's it. And well, the biggest, you know, the point you have to consider is your profit, scale of the profit.
Right. So, and obviously, I mean, everyone's circumstances are different. So it's best to consult with Sadaisu-san himself or any professional certified accountant here in Japan and also in our country of residence, because there are some issues regarding double taxation, tax treaties, whatever your income level is in your country of residence in case you're not living here. So these all will help you determine the best course of action in your particular case. Now, Sada-san, aside from everything that you've just explained, are there any other advantages for property investors in setting up a local Japanese company or in the case of non-residents, maybe a Japanese branch or a subsidiary of a foreign corporation? What are the main differences between all of these structures?
Okay, I see. Well, you know, doing an investment as a foreigner, as an individual, you get some advantage because you do not have to pay the local inhabitant tax. Because for the individual, if you do not have the residency in Japan, you are exempted from the local inhabitant tax. And local inhabitant tax rate for the individual is quite high. It's 10% of your taxable income. So I just mentioned that, you know, income tax rate, lowest rate is 5%. But if you are living in Japan, you have to make you have to pay the additional 10% for the inhabitant tax. So that means the lowest tax rate for the individual is 15%, and the highest is 55%. I mean, I think 55% is quite high.
Very high, yes.
Yeah. And also for the corporate, you know, if you establish the corporate, that is regarded as a Japanese resident. I mean, if you register the company in Japan, so that's a Japanese company. So, of course, you have to pay the inhabitant tax in Japan. There's the inhabitant tax for the corporate, too. And if you register the branch, it's the same. It's a Japanese entity, so, you know, subject to the local taxes, too. And, well, I want to a little bit explain you about the difference between the branch and the companies. You know, there's a three ways to start investment in Japan. Well, the first one is, you know, purchase the property as an individual. And the other one is you establish a subsidiary companies in Japan or you establish a branch.
That's Japan. A subsidiary or branch of a foreign company which establishes an office in Japan, yes?
Yes, okay. Correct. Yeah, subsidiary of the foreign companies. Or, you know, you can It doesn't have to be a subsidiary of the foreign company. Well, you as an individual establish a company in Japan and you are shareholders living in overseas and have a Japanese company in Japan, that's possible too. And taxation are same for both cases.
Okay.
And the other case is you establish a branch of the foreign company in Japan. So basically there is a, you know, well, you can establish a subsidiary or you can establish a branch in Japan. And, you know, this is something different from the tax, but the biggest difference between the subsidiary and the branch is about the legal liabilities for the Japanese entities. Well, if it's a branch, the branch and the head office are regarded, is treated as the same legal entities. So let's say, you know, somebody sued the Japanese branch and the Japanese branch owe the liabilities to the others, you know, foreign head office has the obligation for these liabilities. The foreign, you know, head office owes unlimited liability for the Japanese branch because they are same entities. On the other hand, if it's a subsidiary company and parent company or individual in overseas are regarded as the different entities. So the risk doesn't, you know, go to the foreign investors if you establish a subsidiary companies. If the subsidiary company go bankrupt, that's it. You know, no more damages for that. And the other difference is between the subsidiary and the branch from the tax point of view. Well, as I said, the branch and the head office are same legal entities. So if you are making the loss in the Japanese branch and if you are making the profit in the foreign head office, you know, you can offset the loss in Japan branch and profit in the foreign head office.
Well, that's very handy.
In case you have the company in overseas. So, you know, then you can save the tax, not in Japan, but in your country.
I see. And how about money transfers? Is it easier or harder?
Okay, yeah. The money transfers for the branch, you know, it's a way easier compared to the you know, transferring money from the Japanese subsidiary company to the foreign company or foreign individual. Because if it's a branch, you know, transferring the money, well, between in the same companies, very easy. Just send the money. That's it. But you know, if it's a subsidiary company, it's a separate entity from the foreign investor. So that means, you know, subsidiary company pay back. Well, in some days, a subsidiary company need to send the money it's earned in Japan to overseas. So there's a two way to send the money, transfer the money from Japan to overseas, whether it's by dividend or by interest payment, and both. You know, in both ways, interest and the dividend are subject to the withholding income tax in Japan. And if your country have the tax treaty between the Japan, well, you might be exempted from the withholding income tax or lower the withholding tax rate. But you need to submit some document to the tax office before making the payment, and that will cost. Will be additional costs probably for the, you know, tax accountant.
Right, and that's all included in your services as a tax and accounting company for foreigners.
Sure, yes. I provide the services for both, you know, companies and also, you know, the problem is in Japan and also the taxation for the branch is kind of complicated. It's very special areas in the Japanese tax law, so not so many tax accountants get used to it, but yeah, I can support that.
Understood. Okay, that's great. That makes things very clear, much easier to understand. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, last question for you. One of the first things that people always inquire about when they want to kick off their Japanese property investment portfolio is the possibility of finance from local banks or other lending institutions. Now, unfortunately, it seems as if there are very few options available for non-residents, Could you maybe explain a little bit? I know it's not your area of expertise, but a little bit about banks' lending criteria here in Japan and what people can do, if they can even do anything, to try and secure finance for their property purchase?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I received the same kind of the question from my client, from a potential client. They want to get the finance from the Japanese banks because interest rate is low. But in general, the Japanese banks isn't reluctant to offer the loan for the non-resident because in case the investor can't pay back the loan, there's no way for the Japanese bank to chase you and collect the money. So usually, you know, they make a loan for the Japanese resident. Well, you can be a foreigner and with the longer terms of the visa, such as married with the Japanese people. But if you are, you know, living in overseas, not so many banks offer you a loan. And usually, you know, when you before you're getting a loan from the Japanese bank, there's an interview, and face-to-face interview. So, and usually they speak in Japanese, and we need to, you know, explain them that your business will make enough profit to pay back the loan. I think recently investment from the overseas are increasing, and I know some banks and non-bank means that they are not getting a deposit. They are not opening the bank account for anyone. They just make the loan. Some banks and non-bank financial institutions offer you a loan, but they set the mortgage on your properties. For example, if your value of the property is, well, let's say, they say if you want to, you know, purchase the properties with 500, US dollars in Japan, they can offer you probably, you know, 50 to 60% of the property values, and the rest of the money you have to pay by cash, or those kind of things. And criteria are very different for investors' financial situations. Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
so again, that makes it very, very much clearer. Thank you. So generally speaking, you have to have a local long-term presence in Japan, whether as a resident or as a company, right?
Right, basically, right. And, I want to talk about establishing whether, you know, having a corporation in Japan will help you financing in Japan. And actually, it will help financing from the Japanese bank. If you just register your company at the virtual office in Japan and nobody is actually working in Japan, the bank will not trust you. But, you know, if you have like a physical office, establish a company in Japan and they have a physical office in Japan and the people are working, it's a Japanese company. So, well, your bank may trust you. And also, you know, well, in general, to get a loan in Japan, we need to submit the tax return and the financial statement for the past 3 years, and we needed to show that we are making profit for the past three years. Otherwise, the bank will not give you a loan.
And we do that with our tax statements, right?
Yeah, we do it the tax statement because that's an official document you submitted to the tax office.
Okay, so you have to have a long-term residency of some sort and income tax payment history for a few years.
Yeah.
And if you're a company, you also have to employ local Japanese staff, right?
Right. Or you stay in Japan.
Yeah. Oh, it helps anyway.
Have the presence in Japan because, you know, if it's a virtual office, you know, suddenly the investor, you know, go away or go back to their country, and I don't think the Japanese company can chase investor to overseas and collect the money. So,
right. Understood. Great. Well, thank you very much for your time, Sada-san. I'm sure our listeners will find the information you've provided very helpful. And again, folks, we can't stress this enough. Unless you're just going to be buying a few cheap apartments, in which case you might be under the tax reporting threshold, which is about $3,600 net annually. If you're anywhere above that, the best way to maximize your profits and minimize your expenses is to take the time and the effort to consult with an accountant here in Japan. Now, obviously, we think Sadiwell Accounting is your best bet, but anyway, make sure you consult with someone and get your infrastructure business plan set up properly before you purchase your first property. This strategy is bound to save you a lot of money and also a lot of potential headaches in the future as your portfolio grows. That's it from us today. You can find Sadai Susan's contact information in the show notes on the podcast webpage. Or if you'd like, simply contact us directly through our website on www.nippontradings.com. That's N-I-P-P-O-N, Nippon Tradings, all one word, .com. And we'll put you in touch with Sadai Susan and his office directly. And until next time, happy investing.